Today, I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. So here's the forewarning. Don't quit listening. Usually when someone says something that goes against what we think, we stop listening and we start defending what we think. I'm going to share something here today, a little bit about walking through with Christ through hardships that I believe fundamentally is missing in the body of Christ. And I believe this because I see so many in different areas, in different places, walking through places of hardship that they shouldn't walk through because they've never understood the balance of what it is to know Christ. And so, and you're like, whoa, this should be good. It should be good. And so if you think I'm taking a shot at a holy cow, I am. And here's the best thing, and this just comes from years of hunting. If you shoot the cow, or the deer, whatever, you shoot them, and they're still alive, keep shooting them until they're not. So if you feel like you got shot, buy the CD and keep listening until that cow dies. There's no amening going on, Glenn. It'll be good. So anyways, in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start off with this verse. Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together with him." Now, a key to walking with Christ in every area of our life, excuse me, I've been doing that a lot too, that sneezing and everything else. But the key to walking with Christ has so much to do with being led by the Spirit. It's about hearing him and walking with him day after day. A lot of times we think, well, serving God is coming into the grandiose times of his presence. I love that. But I'm telling you, God is not a God of the mountains only. He's a God of every area of your life, whether it's the valley or the mountains or in between. He's God. And it says those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And God, when he saves us, he begins to redeem us, and he's walking us into a place of walking as sons and daughters in a place of freedom. And it's very real. And as it goes on, it talks about what we have to be careful of is that we have to understand that we didn't receive the spirit of bondage to fear. And what happens many times, the enemy is good at bringing fear on people. He's good at bringing bondage on people. And although we're saved and born again and on our way to heaven, there's a part where the enemy will try to, through different things in our life and through different circumstances, and even if different doctrines, he will try to bring things on us that will bind us up and bring us into a place of bondage and slavery. But God did not make us to be slaves. God did not make us to be slaves. He made us to be free in his kingdom. He made us, in fact, here's what goes on. It says he brings us into that spirit of adoption where we begin to come into that personal relationship. Abba, Father, a lot of times you've heard of ones that Abba is a very personal father. So it's like saying Daddy, Father. So it's not praying some distance prayer. But when we come to know Jesus, his spirit of adoption comes on us. And then we walk into his presence and we're like, Father, I'm here. Dad, Daddy, Father, I'm right here. There's a personal deal. And I'm telling you, you cannot, and you cannot get into that place unless you begin to understand that you have to stay in that spirit of adoption and stay away from that spirit of bondage, because the spirit of bondage pulls you away from the personal relationship with God. Where I have a spirit, I'm serving him, I'm on fire, I know Jesus, And then all of a sudden I'm going through a hardship and I'm having hard times and I'm having hard things go on. And pretty soon that spirit of bondage comes on you. It's like things like condemnation. Well, this happened because you did that. You left an open door, that's why. How many know that all the things in God have a lot more to do with God than they do with us? Anybody figure that out yet? We didn't save ourselves. And we do cause some of our own problem at times, but I'm telling you, there's something about it where we have to understand who we are in Christ. And if we let bondage come in, and I've watched some people who quote the scripture all day long that are some of the most bound up people I've ever met in my life. Because they'll pray things, and I'm going to pick on a group, but I love all groups of Christians, amen? They're all God's children. You know, there's one of them rough ones in every group, and I was one of those. But, you know, they get in that place where they begin to say, man, I've got to have healing, and they start quoting scriptures, and we're going to declare this, and we're going to do this, and somewhere they get away from that place and just coming in God's presence and saying, God, here I am. Father, you're my God. I trust you. I believe in you. I'll walk with you every day. And then you meet, I'm telling you, there's a spirit of bondage, and a lot of times that bondage is religion. It's knowing things and beginning to declare truth without holding on to the one who is truth. It's beginning to declare healing without holding on to the one who is healing. It's declaring freedom and all these other things and not understanding that even in this verse here, it's interesting. It goes on. It talks about, if we're heirs with Christ, that with God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him and are glorified. This is a part of the scripture that isn't balanced at sometimes. Who in their right mind likes suffering? I don't. I hate it. I hate suffering. But it don't change the fact. How many know that we go through hard times? Every single person goes through hard times. Sometimes you go through hard times because it just happens. Have anybody ever figured out that this body is not going to last forever? It just ain't going to happen. I don't care. And there's different things like that. I talked to, I was giving somebody a hard time who was talking to me. It was a gal, and she's like, I'm praying for my friend. She's 98, and I can see her going downhill, and God just has to heal her because she can't go yet. And I'm like, it could happen, but perhaps the Lord loves her too, and the truth is we will all die someday. And it was a foreign concept. What? I'm like, yes. And I am not here's the thing. We'll get to where I'm going. So don't shut me off. don't tune me all the way out yet. How many know God heals? Amen. Does he heal every time? Well, that's interesting. And we're left in the battle to figure out how, and we have to be careful that in the battle as we figure out how, we're staying in the place of the Abba Father relationship, not in a place of bondage where we're trying to wrestle God to figure out why someone's getting healed here and not getting healed there. I'm going to tell you why, because I ain't God. He is. And we begin to wrestle with different things at different times. And those are hard questions, aren't they? They're rough. I mean, I'm telling you, we just left, before we flew out Minot, the other day, the day before that, or a couple days before that, my nephew and his wife were having their first baby, and the baby passed away 2 weeks before it was supposed to deliver. That's hard. And they wanted us to do the funeral. We couldn't do the funeral because we're already coming here Friday, but we went down to Bismarck just to spend time with family and to love them. Does anybody have an answer for that quite yet? I don't. And I'm not claiming an answer on that, but I want us to come and begin to understand something about who God is a little bit. Because what happens is if we're not careful when hard things happen, a spirit of bondage begins to grow in us that separates us from God. And because every time something happens in our life, whether it's any kind of tragedy, God's voice is always speaking and the enemy's voice is always speaking. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy's voice can quote scriptures better than you can. So it's not about who's quoting scriptures. It's about, are you in that relationship every day walking with him, hearing him? Now, that part of suffering is a part of knowing God. And it talks about, indeed, if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together with him. There's something so true about that, and we have to be on our guard against things that are deceptive. There's some of those things that are so deceptive out there. Because we get in that place where I've watched people in their doctrine sometimes say things like, if you're really in tune with God, you'll never have disappointment. Good luck with that one. If you're really in tune with God, you won't get hurt. Bad things won't happen. Pain won't come. Loved ones won't pass away. I'm going to give you a little secret. Everyone in this room is going to have a funeral someday. I know what mine is going to be the happiest one. Not for everybody else, but for me. Because I'm going to be like, all right, I'm next. It's like they picked your number. Come on down. Like, yeah. You know, but we're all going to go through that. And that's one of the hardest things that we go through, isn't it? I tell you, the truth is that I hate funerals. Because, especially when they're people I love. Because I don't get to see them. There's a break of fellowship that just grieves me. Even though I know they're with Jesus, and I'm excited about that part, I miss talking to ones who are gone and are close to me. I miss them deeply. But there's something about that where we have to understand that part of walking in this life that we're going to go through hardships. That sometimes, and I put out this thing here because, and if you twitch, it's a holy cow. It'll die. But not everyone gets healed all the time. And that's hard. But I want us to understand that is that somewhere we have to be careful we don't get in condemnation on it. How many know God is God and we're not? And we got to make sure that we understand and who we are with God and not at the other place that where we begin to try to do all that because it doesn't work. I'm going to read in here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Apostle Paul. It's talking about him and his life, and I love the Apostle Paul. He's one of my favorite guys in the New Testament next to Jesus. You know, he wrote 60% of the New Testament. The guy was a powerhouse. He loved God, but let's look at his life for a minute because I want us to understand some things in Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pled with the Lord three times that I might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest in me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul went through harder times than anyone else that I know of in the New Testament spreading the gospel. I mean, Jesus died, but outside of Jesus, Paul's life was a brutal life. I mean, when you look at his life, he talks about, you know, the thorn in his side. Sometimes you run into different ones and they'll preach and they'll say, well, we don't know what that is. That could be anything. If you have your Bible, take a look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because in here, Paul talks about what his thorns are. And here's what it says in chapter 11 of verse 23. It says, "They are ministers of Christ. I speak as a fool, for I am more. I labor more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prison frequently, in death often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and the night I spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of my own countrymen, in peril of Gentiles, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril." This guy was in peril. All the time. "In weariness, in toil, in sleepiness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often." And the fasting doesn't mean he was fasting to pray. He didn't have no food. He was hungry. And it says, "In coldness and nakedness, beside these other things come upon me that daily are the concerns for the churches. Who is weak? Am I not also weak? Who has stumbled? And do I not burn with indignation? Listen, Paul went through roughness. And I want us to understand something here, is that Paul moved with God everywhere he went. He did what God wanted. He spread the word of God. In fact, as he went along the way, I don't know about you, but man, Paul had to be one rough-looking piece of rawhide. How many times he got beaten and stoned and whipped. The guy was beat up. And he went through this, and nowhere does it say that every time he got beat, God miraculously healed him. In fact, God just led him to the next town. And did it again. Until he got beat, and then he went to the next town. Did it again. No, he went to the next town, they arrested him. And so in the middle of this, Paul's like, you know, God is working mightily through me, but I've got this thorn in my side. It keeps me grounded. Paul began to understand what this thorn was. But he said, I've got this thorn in my side, and as I have this thorn in my side, this hardship that I always wrestle with, I prayed to him three times, and I said, Lord, could you take this from me? Now, how many of you would have saved Paul a beating? I would have. God didn't. God said, it's okay. Ooh. Well, now, where does that doctrine fit in? I've watched people get so crazy in their doctrine that they'll say, hey, if Paul would have really hurt God, he wouldn't have got thrown in prison. He wouldn't have died. I said, so if Jesus hurt God, he wouldn't have died either? And then usually you lose them because they get mad. You know, I'm glad Jesus died, aren't you? Amen. He gave his life. He went through the beating. He went through everything. And the Father stood off and said, yes, do this thing. Because that's how I'm going to save you. See, what happens in our life sometimes, if we're not careful, we begin to talk about a gospel that ends up sometimes being more of an American gospel than a gospel. And ones who've been in different countries understand that a little bit better, because there's places in other countries, as people preach the word of God, they're thrown in jail for the rest of their life. As people begin to do things that God wants them to do, they're killed or they're beaten or their families are. And nowhere did God mess and leave them out in the cold. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? Why did God save the three Hebrew children from the fire without a scratch, but Paul got beat all the time? Good question, isn't it? You know, why, and then you run people that, why, Lord, is this happening to me and no one else? Now, here's interesting. You know, since we've been up there, it's been crazy. And actually, me and Jackie, sometimes we've laughed about it and cried. But we've had times where we have visited that little ER in Sandy, North Dakota so much, they're going to start giving us a parking spot. They're bringing in to know us by name. They said, what's wrong this time? I've been there for my leg. I've been there for kidney stone. Jackie's been there for high blood pressure that was so high she could have died. I mean, it was like out of control, ridiculous high. She's been going to doctors for that. She went to another doctor, and they said, well, now you got glaucoma for her eyes and stuff. And so it was like one after one after one. And Jackie's like, what happened? I said, I think we're dying. I said, I think that's what's happening. I said, but I'm pretty sure that prophecy is coming true. I'm just not sure when. And on some of these things, I begin to, because I've spent a lot of time just talking to the Lord, and the Lord says, some of these things I'm going to start talking to you about, but I had to let you go through things because you got to understand something. Too many times do we get in that place where we begin to think, hey, I'm walking with Jesus, take this from me, and then I'll be free. Guess what? You're in bondage if you got to be free to have something change in your life. Paul could have said, God, I'll be free if I could stop getting beat. And God didn't say that. God said, guess what? My grace is enough to carry you through the beating to the next place. My grace is enough to keep you alive when you don't have food. My grace is enough that they can stone you and they'll think you're dead, but I'll get you up and you're going to go to the next place. You're going to talk about me again because there's people in the next town that I love. And I'm giving you the grace to do it. Anybody who says they want to be like Paul don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Because Paul, when he got towards the end of his life, he was in prison. He wrote, and here's the thing, then he got thrown in jail. Then he got killed. And so it was like, was Paul a success? And you look at his life, but as Paul was older, there was times where I could just visualize some of the things he's been through. And he can be like, I think I'm going to, now I'm not tying my shoe today. My back has been beaten too many times with rods to bend like it used to. And God, I've thought about doing a message sometime about what about when God says no? Is everybody still with me? Still listening? No one tuned me out yet? I want us to think, because here's the truth is how you walk with God is you walk with him by hearing him every day, not getting stuck on a doctrine that you think you can stand on. I don't stand on a doctrine. I stand on a relationship with Jesus Christ and my Father. There's no other way I can stand and have victory except I walk with him in person, not a doctrine. To me, people, so... Because here's what you run into is someone could have stood there by Paul when he ate for 5 or 6 days and said, well, the Lord says he'll supply all your needs. Where are they? And Paul later on goes, hey, I glory in the times that I suffer in my needs. I glory in the times that I suffer in distress when I'm so stressed that I don't know what I'm going to do. That's crazy, isn't it? That's like crazy talk. In the Pentecostal circles, I get you thrown out some places. I boast in those times. So here's Paul. He does miracles. People are getting healed. He builds the kingdom. And he says, you know what I really brag about? What? The times when I didn't have anything. The times when I got beaten up. The times I got thrown in jail. The times I was in, I brag about those. And why? Because when you're weak, he's strong. When you're weak, he's strong. Amen. See, there's something about, even as we're going up there a little bit, I'll try to share it. When we first went up there, one of the things the Lord talked to me about, he asked me a question, and he said, because as I began to go, I began to look, and I seen that even some of the guys I was meeting who are pastors probably shouldn't be. I love them. I'm behind them. But some of them need to get saved in that group too. You know, but they're very shallow, and I began to look at them and I started dealing with them and encouraged some of them a little bit, and some of them don't want nothing to do with anybody. But I began to look at things and the Lord talked to me. He said, "Do you know why there's never been a church built here? That's a strong church." And I said, "No, why?" He said, "Because no one's been willing to come here and die. That's why." And then he said, "I'm calling you here to die." And I was like, "Hey, yeah, okay." I can feel the heaviness on that. Later on, when we're dying, the Lord says, remember what I called you to? To die. Why? Because maybe it ain't about me. Maybe it's about his kingdom. Maybe there needs to be... Listen, I want us to understand this. We miss out on victory sometimes because we're so busy planning what it should be and what God's victory should be and what our faith should produce that we don't understand. It's not about that. It's about walking with him in person, step by step, and God will do what he does, and when he does it, all will know that he's God. See, the enemy, when you've seen Jesus, when he went to the cross, if you could watch that thing all the way through, it would tear at your soul to see what they did to Christ on the way to the cross. You know, we had that movie that came out where they beat Jesus and everything? I still ain't watched it because I don't want to. Because it's just somebody's interpretation. I don't want to watch it. Why? Because I have a relationship with him and I know who he is. And I don't need a movie to get me somewhere. But with the things he went through were so harsh and brutal, he should have died before he hit the cross. He should have died. Aren't you glad he died? Amen. Aren't you glad he gave his life? I am. He's been my everything. Man, his disciples had a hard time with that. In fact, Peter started rebuking Jesus. Remember the story? Jesus said, yep, I'm going to die. They go into Jerusalem and I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. Peter couldn't even hear him pass the I'm going to die. Why? Because he tuned him off. That's what I was talking about today. He shut him off because Peter's like, oh no, Lord, you're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the king. You're the Messiah. There's no way you're dying. And he couldn't hear him past his own doctrine. And he began to rebuke Jesus, saying, Jesus, how dare you say that? You're not going. And Jesus turned around and said, Satan, get behind me because you speak like a man and not like God. Now, get your Bibles. We're going to look at a verse because here's what Jesus does with this group next, which is really interesting. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 34, after Peter got rebuked, here's what happened. In verse 34 of chapter 8, it says, "When he called to himself the disciples also, he said to them, 'Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of when he comes in glory of his Father with holy angels.'" That word life, I'm going to talk about for here in a minute, because as soon as Jesus got done rebuking Peter, he went immediately into another part where he started talking to them about, hey, if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross. You got to die. You got to die to some things. And then he goes on and he ties the picking up the cross and dying to, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. That word life is the word suka. That's how you pronounce it, how you spell it. It's longer. But the word suka, and that word suka does not mean your physical body. That's a different word entirely. The word suka means your soul. And so when you're saying that, a lot of times in the New Testament, that word life doesn't mean physical. It means your soul. And what it's talking about is that unless you're willing to lose what you think, what you want, and what you feel, you'll never have real life. Oh, this is a good preaching.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Yeah, I got one. All right. If you're concerned, and listen, we have to be careful, and I have to watch this, and no one is above this deal. Is sometimes we begin to get caught up in bondage of even doctrines again because we begin to feel safe with boundaries of doctrine. I know Jesus will heal me. Yes, he can. Yes, he may. Yes, he, I don't know. He might not. But we like the sound things that we can hang our hat on, and at times some of those things do work and some don't. And there's things that even my nephew, you know what, I'll tell you something. God sees everything. We don't see hardly nothing. What I found out is my vision, even if God shows me stuff a year from now, I'm still blind compared to him. I can't see. And as he went through that deal, he's been wrestling in his relationship with the Lord, but he works in Newtown, and his wife and them live 2.5 hours away in Bismarck. And so he goes home every weekend, and she's a nurse. And so anyway, she was in the hospital, and they said there was no heartbeat. And so he was driving down, and he's praying, "Lord, please save my baby." But it didn't happen. But here's what I know. God works all things for the good, somehow, some way. I know somehow there's an open door into that young man's life and that young girl's life. And there's no way, here's the truth is that if we just always go off of what we feel and what we think and what we want, we're going to be in bondage and it's going to pull us away from God all the time. Every time. It'll pull us away from who he is. I've watched people lose loved ones, and as they've lost loved ones, I've watched them fall on their knees before God and come into a deeper and richer relationship with Jesus. And I've watched other ones turn in anger and frustration that God didn't do what they thought he should have done. One was in bondage, and bondage always pulls you out of sonship and daughtership every time. It pulls you out of that deal. But when you're a son or daughter, you're a son or daughter. What I found is some of the hardest things that I've had in losses at times, when I've had those losses, I found a great comfort in Jesus that I could find nowhere else. And when I come out of that place, there's a strength and a depth that I begin to touch that I could not touch. And at the end of it, I'm like, God's working in my life. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's always there.
See, there's something with that that we have to understand and come into, because if we don't, it'll start pulling us. And I'm not worried about, and sometimes we get worried about, people worry about, well, we got to be careful what we say. We got to be careful. I'm so glad that God loves me, even though I'm clumsy. Amen? I can fall down, and God's like, that's Damon. Come on, get up, boy. You're my son. Nothing changed. You're still, I like you. There's time where God and his angels probably sit there and said, that was a good one. That was really funny. You know? And they already know me when I get up there. Hey, there's Damon. Remember when he did that? Yeah, he's crazy. But see, there's something about where we have to understand it's not about all those things, but somewhere we have to keep in that place where we begin to come in close to him and begin to realize that it's not about just having things. Anything that pulls you away from the closeness in God is a bondage. And that's why, I've been praying about this and looking at some different things. Anything like that pulls you away. Listen, God's plan is victory in our life, but that victory comes by walking through hardship and through things and walking with him. In fact, in Revelation 12:11, and I think I got that verse on there. Good, you got it up there so I can read it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and did not love their lives unto death. That word lives is that same word. They did not love their souls. Part of having victory that overcomes him is not just the blood of the Lamb by itself. There's also the word of your testimony that has to do with faith and you declaring some things. But it's not just that only. You can declare what you want. You can declare it ain't going to rain, but you're going to get wet sometimes anyways. Amen? Because it rains. I can declare it's going to be warm in January, and it ain't going to change nothing up there right now at this point. It's cold up there. I forgot how cold that was. I really did. Now, you know, I was like, yeah, I can handle that. You know, inside shaking like a wet dog every night. I come out of the room. Wrap up in a blanket. Sit there for a while. Wife was, what do you want? I said, I just got to warm up. Just give me a minute. Yeah, I forgot how cold that is. I forgot that the wind never quits. I forgot what it is to have 40 and 50 mile an hour winds for 3 days in a row, all day, every day. I forgot what that was. And I can stand out there and say, it ain't windy. It ain't going to win. Declaring that ain't going to change a whole lot of that sometimes. Because at the end of the day, who's the God over everything? God, not me. He might let me declare something that happened once in a while, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, he's the God. I'm not. And there can be times where you can declare things, and I've watched things where I've seen tornadoes coming and prayed, and I've watched them leave and go back up. I've watched God do that. But I've also watched times where I prayed and nothing changed. God is like, oh, my grace is enough. You'll be okay. My grace is enough. When I hurt my knee, I begin to talk about, there's nothing like sitting down and not walking for two months to give you some time to think. If you haven't done it, I would not recommend it, but it works. And the pain and not thinking right and just wrestling, I really did not enjoy none of that. And there's times I went to the Lord and said, Lord, you got to get me there quicker. You know what I'm talking about, Denny? I remember we almost had to tie Denny to the bed to keep him in bed until he healed up to get off the bed. And I was thinking, I kind of knew Denny was having a hard time, but I didn't understand it. You know, I didn't understand it until I was like, I can't take it. I got to get out of here. And you go to get up and you're in such pain, you can't do it. And so you start having days like that. And I begin to talk to the Lord on different times. And the Lord just says, you know what? It's okay. I'm like, well, it's not okay. He's like, it is okay. I'm still here. Nothing changed. I'm still God. You're still where I want you to be. You're still doing what I want you to do. Isn't that crazy? And I'm beginning to watch things change. I had, before I came down here last week, I work a job where I'm dispatched. I kind of dispatch office manager kind of deal. If the boss is gone, I can do what he does, is what he's trying to train me, so I can do everything he does. And so in the busy season, I'll do 12 hours a day, easy. And it's 12 hours, 100 miles an hour. I'll dispatch six or seven of our own guys on fuel and propane about a countywide. I'll do about 11 different gas stations, three different bulk plants. And I'll also send stuff to dispatch. And sometimes I'll have up to 15 trucks on the road through other dispatching companies that I'm dispatching. And so to keep all that, and now here's the thing. If you don't pull fuel from the right place and you pull it from wrong, you just lost $3,000. So it's like you got to know what you're doing. It keeps you busy and hopping all day. Plus for customer care and so with people coming in. And so these things are just like crazy. And what happened is that someone was trying to mess with me a little bit in my job. And my boss is a type A personality. He's a wiry fella. And he seen someone was messing with me. And he went in there like a bulldog and he said, "Nobody touches Damon. You got it." You got to do one of those deals with some people. And I'm like, "What?" And he told me, he said, "You breaking your leg is the best thing that's ever happened to this workplace." I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "I'm not." He said, "You are the best dispatcher. You handle rough and difficult people better than anyone I've ever met." He says, "You bring organization to this office that it has never seen." He says, "I have never felt free to let someone run the place when I'm not here, but I do now." He says, "You could do my job and do better probably." And he says, "I think you breaking your leg is the best thing that's happened to this office. We're making ground." I said, "Really? You know what? I think I'm there because he needs to know Jesus. And other ones need to know him. If they'd have left me in a truck, I'd have done a great job in a truck and they never would have brought me in the office." You know? So he said, "I'm glad you broke your leg." And I was like, I'm really still not. You know? There's no part of me that really is happy about that. You know, but now here's the thing. Who knows the beginning and end? Not Damon. Who knows the beginning and end in what you're going through? I'm going to tell you right now, not you. Not you. Who knows the beginning and end in my nephew who lost a child? Not my nephew. But he does. He does. And somewhere we've got to come into the place where we begin to realize it's not about how I feel. It's not about what I want. Because there's a part of me in some things where I'm praying and I'm believing God and the doctor's saying, "Well, even what he says about my knee," he says, "You will have arthritis in that knee." And he says, "And you have some arthritis in that ankle and now it's worse." And I said, "Is that why it won't bend all the way right?" He's like, "That's why." And I said, "Well," and I told Jackie, I said, "I believe God can heal that. And I'm just going to keep praying and walking. But here's the thing. If I walk my whole life with a limp, I really don't care because I trust God and he's my king. He's my rock. And if I got to limp every day to serve Jesus, I'm going to limp every day to serve Jesus. Because it ain't about me." And somewhere God wants to bring us into a richness of his presence. Because I'm going to understand this. Is that you do not walk with him as a son or a daughter when you're in a place, when you're pulled over here in a place of bondage and fear. And when fear begins to run your life, no longer can God begin to bring his peace and strength and his insight into that deal. When I'm in panic mode. When you were sitting there, am I going to walk right again? You know, when they first did it, they're like, they might have to put pins in a plate down your leg. And I seen it. And they show me a picture. I'm like, why would you do that to someone? Show them a picture of that. You know, they flay your leg wide open and they put a rod all the way up your shin and your deal and they drill screws in your bone. I'm like, why would you show that to anybody? You know, just lie to me about it. And when I'm coming to you, then I'm through it. You know, I'm like, good Lord, I said, Lord, please not that, Lord. You know, I went in, the doctor says, almost everybody needs that, but you don't. You're cracked just enough. I mean, it looked bad. He said, where I measured it, and if you will just work with me and not walk on that at all like I'm telling you, I think it'll be okay. And I'm like, I will. Just don't cut me. don't cut me and don't get... And they use like a regular drill too. It's not even nice. You know? And I see, it's awful. You know? And I worked with a guy who had that done, and he walks with a really big limp and a really big scar. But you know what? Somewhere you got to get past the fear of things. And here's a big fear is dying. When that day comes, the day will be where we'll have that moment But it'll be a day where I know I'm going to draw closer to the Lord. I'm not going to be wrapped up in bondage. I'm going to get into his presence. God, what are you saying about this? God, what are you doing about this? Instead of getting in that place where all of a sudden I'm in bondage and now I'm in so much bondage, I have a hard time even going to church. I have a hard time hearing things about God because why? Because it's pulling me away from God. It's pulling me away from him. And I think there's somewhere where we got to be so careful that we're hearing God in the moment in hard times if we want victory. Because in that moment is where we're going to find strength. And that's why Paul said, I'm not bragging about raising someone from the dead today. I'm not bragging about the people who got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to brag about the guy who was crippled who's not crippled no more, because those are secondary. What I'm going to brag about first is that all these hardships I go through, and he still walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me it's going to be fine. See, Paul had a depth in him that a lot of people did not have in them. Paul didn't get offended when he got beat. I don't know about you, but if I got beat about after the third time telling him, preaching the gospel, I'd be like, I'm going to have to believe something different. You know, because one, I wouldn't go down well. You know, I carry a concealed weapon for a reason. I'd be shooting sinners. You know, it would not turn out well. And it's like, God ain't got that out of me yet. I'm really sorry about that. And I've thought, well, you can shoot the wound. I'm like, now in a moment, it would change. I would kill him. You know, and so it's like, so if I'm ever out in a rough place, I probably need to not take a gun with me. Otherwise, we'll be. The gospel is hard to preach after you shoot people, is what I've heard. Makes it a little, but God can do anything. So I'm going to have to let God, I'm going to have to hear him on that. Yeah. But now here's the question. As you're walking through life, are you hearing him? And here's the interesting phrase, and I'm not going to preach this. I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm going to let Glenn preach on this. Because Glenn is a wiser man than I. Glenn says, if I'd been wise, I'd have stopped him. Here's what it said in Mark 8, the one that we just read. In verse 38, it says, for whosoever is ashamed of me and my words. And here's something, when I read this deal, and I'm not really putting this as a doctrine, but I really begin to think about this, is how many times, and this is bondage, when I'm ashamed of something in God's word. Listen, I'm not ashamed to say he's a healer. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say he might not do it to you. I'm not ashamed, because did he tell Paul that? He told Paul three times, no. What happened? Paul went out to get, they beat him again, and Paul's like, okay, Lord, listen, this is enough. You got to take this away from me. And the Lord's like, no, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. My grace is enough. And then Paul comes to third, and here talks about how some have a hard time and how he was more like disgusted. Have people suffered? Well, not as much as I have. Paul said, I could see a picture of him a third time. Listen, God, we got to get this straight. I'm tired of getting beat. And there's always that one little punk kid who hits me behind the head with a rock. I hate that kid. You got to start letting me come in and preach and then let me go. You don't have to pay me. And God's like, no, it don't matter. If you want to do what you want, then do what you want. But if you want real life, then you got to start doing what I want. You're going to start having to put what I desire above what you desire. You're going to have to start putting what I feel about things come before what you feel about things. And I can see that heaviness on Paul all the time. I tell you what, Paul is a strong man. And he is still one of my favorite characters. Not just because of the miracles. Anybody can touch an anointing and flash for a moment. That don't mean nothing. Because God's God. His ways are his ways. But to walk in depth. As Paul sat in prison, and as he even lost his life, he had no idea that the words that God had gave him to write
would pass on for generation after generation, people knowing Christ and being saved, and the millions of lives that were changed. Why? Because he wasn't afraid to go with God, even though it cost him what he would really want and what he thought and what he felt. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his life. But I'm telling you, the things that God used Paul to write have changed my life. I don't even know the man. I just know they changed my life. How did that happen? God will use people who are willing to serve him and not themselves. And even as believers, we have to be careful we don't build a doctrine that serves us. Why is that? Why is the prosperity message so weird in some places? Because they've made a doctrine that serves himself. Why do you give to God? Because God's a good God and I love him and I want to give to him. I'm not giving so I can get something back all the time. God always gives me stuff. I'm not worried about that. Somewhere it's about, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and if I do it and I don't make it, it don't matter. You're still God. In that verse I read, it talks about those who are ashamed of him and his words. Be careful you're not ashamed of who God is in every aspect. I'm telling you, it makes a difference when you get in your word and start being balanced in what it's saying. Because Paul has other times where he says, I know times of great prosperity, and I know times where I'm starving. But what I've learned is how to walk in contentment no matter what's going on. I've learned how to walk with God in the times of blessing, and I've learned how to walk with God in the times of loss. I've learned so I can be content when I have many things given to me, and I can be content when I have many things taken away. Why? Because they're just things that ain't God. My relationship with God being my source every day is my main thing. And as we get ready to close here, I want to say that. That's one thing that the Lord he's been talking to me quite a bit about that, because I believe a lot of times the enemy comes in and he begins to bring condemnation on us about stuff. Why are you sick? Hey, I'm telling you what, I believe God's healing me. And I do. Like for me, I believe God's healing me. But if I end up limping my whole life, then I do. You know, honestly, if my leg actually wears out at some point, it's just the leg. I got a new body coming, you know, Model A, it's going to be number one. I can eat at the marriage feast all day long and not gain a pound. I told somebody if there's a dessert table there, that's me. Yeah, going to have a good time. No more sickness, no more. I got that body's coming. I'm not worried about that. Today is the day. Am I walking with him today? Am I serving him when I'm not feeling like it? Listen, when we started having church there, I did not feel like it. I felt like I got beat up and run over and then beat up again. And I was reading, and the Lord just talked to me and said, it's time to start doing that. I was like, if you really want to, you know, this is just a great enthusiasm. I want to be very honest. Like, if you really want to, I don't feel like nothing. With the concussion messed me up for a while. Hey, my thinking's coming back too. That's good to know when someone's preaching, their thinking's coming back. Yeah. Last time it was still a little off, but I'm better today. You know, it says actually when you get a bad enough concussion, you can get severe depression and everything else happen. That didn't happen. I just had a hard time thinking a lot. It rung my bell. I'm glad I'm alive. It could have killed me just as easy as it could have wounded me. And I said, well, Lord, if you want to. Then a couple come, and some things happen, and some things didn't. And I was like, Lord. And the Lord's like, I'm still here. And then every once in a while, someone would send me a little message. I've had a couple people who have been really good about sending me a text message. And God gave me this verse for you today. I'm like, that's a really good verse. I really don't feel it. That is a really good verse. I could get excited about it, but I'm not. I'm telling you, somewhere, here's the thing. But as we're walking step by step, here's what I'm watching. I'm watching God work because he's God, not because I am. I'm watching him do things because he's in charge. I'm just walking with him. And there's something about that I've got a couple of my brother-in-laws who are saved now they're strong men. They're brothers. They treat me like brothers. We do stuff together. And when I look at their life, it does my heart good.
just to see what's going on. I am doing nothing except for being there. I'm not bringing some astronomical teaching. I'm not bringing some great super anointing move of God, Holy Ghost power. No, I'm walking with him step by step. As another member in our family, Jackie's brother, Daryl, I've seen him when we went down to Bismarck, and he's like, well, who's all coming? And I told him, he said, those two boys are coming? I was like, all the time. And we go hunting, and we shoot stuff, and we, you know, and we have a good time. And one of them, when our first guy, he's actually slow to cussing down, which I really don't care, but he's just rough and tough, and they're the two brothers that, when they were a little bit younger, when they were drinking, when someone would call the cops would say, just leave them alone until they're done, because we're not coming out there. Because a couple times they beat up the cops too. I mean, you're just like, if you get them wound up, you're going to leave them alone. You know, it's like, don't stick your hand by the dog that's going to bite you. Just leave them alone. And you know what? What I see is two men who are very real and sincere, and I see their hearts grabbing a hold of who Jesus is. And I see a strength coming out of them. And as we're talking and walking things, because some of them, I watch them and they're wrestling because they're having a hard time in their Bibles finding things because it's all brand new. And I was like, hey, it's not about that. It's about reaching out to him every day. It's not about knowing every verse. It's about saying, Lord, help me today. Walk with me today. Get in there, do a little bit of reading or what, you know. I said, that's good. You can use a daily devotion. It doesn't matter. Somewhere it's about learning you are walking with the living God, who is real, and he is strong, and he is your God. And I'm watching him do it. And it's not because of anything great except for just walking. Sometimes, here's the truth, even Glenn told me that story, and when he told me that story, I've always thought of that, how this one lady told her family when she was dying, she said, I've showed you how to live, and now I'm going to show you how to die. I'm telling you, there's something real and powerful when you see somebody walk with the Lord all the way till when they meet Jesus. There's something powerful about it. Our grandma Sturm did that. I mean, she was getting down to, she's 84, and she was like, I'm tired, and I really want to meet Jesus tonight. I hope this is the last time we're visiting here, because I want to, don't wake up. Really, grandma? She said, yes, I miss my family, and she served Jesus her whole life. I've missed different ones, and I'm just so ready. And I'm so excited. I can't wait till Jesus comes, and I know he is. And when she died, man, it was such a peaceful deal. And when people look at grandma's life, they can say, there's a woman who served God her whole life. And when she died, she said, nowhere did bondage of fear come on her. She just walked with the Lord. What a testimony. Listen, God wants us to be free no matter what we're going through. We just have to walk every day. Let's stand in prayer. Just bow our heads for a moment. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to begin to speak to us, because I tell you, there's something where the Lord wants to set people free of things that put bindings on you. And sometimes there's questions like that bind people up. They find no answer, but it binds them up anyways. And so right now, Lord, I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, just come and speak to us, Lord. If there's areas that are holding us in bondage, show them to us and help us get free. And wind still